Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. And welcome to another in the series of Establishing Your Faith, where we are studying the greatest book on faith there ever was, the Bible. And led by the greatest leader ever was, and that's Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. And with the greatest teacher in the faith, and that is the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for your blessing in our lives. And so we welcome you tonight. And here in America, well, let me say it differently. All you around the world, wherever you may be, we're so glad to have you with us. Remember that everything that we do and that we say about the United States of America, you can pray the same prayer over your nation and watch God do a mighty work right there. And everything we're going to say is this is for the body of Christ. And it will be a blessing to not only us, but to you. And so speak it in faith with us every time you hear it. If you have the ability, come over and find us on our YouTube channel, SamuelJCottle.com, and hang out with us there. Let's see, hang out, attend, congregate with us there. And it'll be a blessing to you and to your family. Now, I want to get started right now tonight with our confession we've been praying over our nation. And I ask you, if you guys would pray with me and fast with me over the United States of America, because America shall be saved is God's promise to us. And even though it's a promise, you and I got to go to work to see it come to pass, because there's an enemy that doesn't want it to come to pass. And I encourage you to be bold and be strong tonight while we make this confession. Father, have your way right here today by the power of the Holy Spirit. We yield ourselves and we yield this night to you, to be used of you to change our world right now. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Screen number one is what we're sharing. Got the video. Now I'm asking people to make this confession with me. Set their clocks at the top of the hour, and to make this confession. Now, it's worth it. America needs prayer. Here we go. Pray this diligently with us. Set your phone alarm at the top of every hour and pray this prayer. It is working. Revival is here. Righteousness is returning. Psalm 89:13-15. Righteousness. Well, now what in the world? I copied and pasted that. Must be functioning hand in hand for evil to be brought into check. You have a mighty arm. Strong is your hand. Is your right hand. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Mercy and truth go before your face. Blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. They walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. Got to have righteousness. And you got to have justice. In Jesus' name we pray. Forgive us of our sin, Lord, and heal our land. Return from our wicked ways and seek your face. We the righteous are as bold as a lion, and the wicked flee when no one is pursuing them. Flee, wicked, flee. Thank you, Father, that we have access by faith to come boldly to the throne room of grace. Thank you, Father. You told us we are the restraining force until the rapture happens. In the name of Jesus, the name above all names that can be spoken, we speak to these powerless names, abortion, humanistic perversion, and political corruption. You are restrained and destroyed. Forgive the political and spiritual leaders who are so willing to watch America die and do nothing to stop it, but act on purpose for its destruction. We ask you to remove, Father, remove them from their offices and replace them with God-loving, righteousness-filled, passionate American patriots who will get busy during their term in office and crush this perversion and purge it from our nation so it will never happen again. Complete the doing of it, Lord. Wicked leaders, be tried and convicted, and your sentence carried out immediately for your perverse corruption against the Constitution of the United States of America. May the vile wickedness of abortion actually be seen by everyone, so that a nationwide outcry happens and justice is brought for these wicked, perverse atrocities immediately. We bind the spirit of Baal. Hold on. We bind the spirit of Baal that is demanding a blood sacrifice of our children. We are the children of God. And as Jesus would say, silence, come out of them. Jesus is the only voice, omnipresent. Why is those words in there? We declare that we the people, the American citizens, silence perverse voices immediately. We shut them off. Real simple. In the name of Jesus, we're standing in the righteousness of Jesus and are as bold as the lion of the tribe of Judah every day. Most of all, Jesus, help them all come to you, to know you. Isn't that something? To know you. So that their eternal destiny is heaven in the glory of our Father, not eternal separation and torment from the love of the Father. The door is still open. Enter in. Wake them up with dreams and visions of their eternity. Please bring these workers of iniquity to their senses like you did with Saul of Tarsus. Thank you for your mercy, love, and grace. Forgive us for the 65 million deaths of our precious sons and daughters in the United States of America. Have mercy on our young ladies, and now even senior citizens who have had abortions. Help them as they humble their hearts and repent to you to receive your love, mercy, grace, and healing. We bind the trauma that happened in their lives on the day of the abortion, and we declare, Jesus sets you free. We speak life more abundantly to you today. We declare they have dreams and visions of their babies in heaven, celebrating with God the Father, awaiting the return of their mother. Thank you, Father. Your mercy endures forever. Bring your judgment, your justice, and recompense to everyone involved in the abortion industry who knows exactly what they're doing and yet, with great purpose, refuse to turn from their wicked ways. We declare the blood of every American warrior cries out for liberty and freedom from this atrocity. The blood of our babies cry out from heaven that this ends now, and life more abundantly is lifted up in the United States of America. Thank you, Jesus, that your blood speaks a better word. End abortion, Lord, once and for all. We declare no more bloodshed of our innocent babies. Paint America red with the blood of Jesus in this election. Then empower those elected to get busy and get that work done immediately. For such a time as this, they have come to this kingdom. As a we the people, we declare no more political games are allowed in Washington, D.C., on either side of the aisle. We, the church, have joined together, and we stand in agreement against political corruption in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro across this earth, seeking whom he may show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are right toward him. 2 Chronicles 16:9. We know, yes, we know you have heard this prayer. We know we have this petition that we ask. We call it done, and we give you glory and honor and praise for the blood and the righteousness of Jesus that gives us this boldness and confidence as we pray this prayer. You are alive and well on the inside of us. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. America shall be saved by the power and will of Almighty God. Thank you, Father, for these answers right here, right now, tonight, in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. That's on the mountain with God. Let's go down here to this one. Establishing your faith. There it is right there. I want to say this one, too. This one might still need a little work, but we'll just see. In Jesus, might pause. This is the name of the people that the children of Israel had to drive out, and all of them represented a demonic spirit that was controlling them. And we've been praying this every so often so that we can help people get free of demonic spirits that try to slow them down. Now, you may have never started anything like, done anything like this on the internet, but it don't matter. This is what we do. Just hang with us. In Jesus' name, you Amorite spirit, I bind you and your power from operating against me and causing me to slander or to entice me to babble and rebel and talk about others' people. You will cease and desist from sowing thoughts of discord and division into my mind. You will not bring condemnation to paralyze me another day in Jesus' name. I am free from your slander, from your babbling and talking and rebelling and bitterness and division and sowing discord. I seal this in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. And amen. In the name of Jesus. Hey, Brother Dan, you can say this out loud with me if you want. I was getting background noise from somewhere, so I just hit mute all, but you can come back on. I bind you and your powers from operating against me or to break me or to cause me to fear. The activities of doubt and unbelief are bound in my life. In Jesus' name. And I command you to loose me from fear and the spirit of fear to loose my life. And therefore, I am free in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, you Hivite spirit, I take authority over you. You will not bring deception or wickedness to us any longer as a villager or deceitful friend. You will no longer be able to disguise yourself as someone ordinary. You will not seduce us to part with our money on some get-rich-quick scheme or some wrong deal. I command you to cease your activity in our life. In Jesus' name, I claim back every dollar that I have spent or invested in schemes and wrong deals. In Jesus' name. You Jebusite spirit, according to Matthew 11:28-30, I take authority over you, spirit of heaviness. You will not operate against me any longer. You will no longer try to tread us under your feet or attack our emotions with negativity and doubt and unbelief. Jesus, feet. Isn't that just something? You will not attempt to sap our confidence or our strength any longer. We command you to cease and desist from instigating the feeling of resignation or quitting in our lives in Jesus' name. Your powers are broken in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, parasite spirit, according to John 10:10, the thief comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But we have received life and life more abundantly from Jesus, and we are enjoying it every day. The word of God says, when we find a thief, he shall restore to us sevenfold. You have been found as a thief. You will no longer cause us to dwell in an unwalled city You will no longer steal or dispossess us from what we have built up in Jesus' name. So we take back everything you have stolen in the name of Jesus, and we declare that we are prospering and everything in the Word of God belongs to us. Jesus is the great provider. Mammon, you are the foul spirit attached to the money of the wicked. Get off of our lives. We are the righteous. In the name of Jesus, you spirit of mammon, we bind you. We bind your powers against us, from operating against us, to steal from us, to block creative money-making ideas, to block creative thoughts from reaching us. We command you to loose every money-making thought that you have stolen from us or blocked from us in the name of Jesus. Proverbs 6:31 promises us that when a thief is found, he must repay sevenfold. Isaiah 61:7-8. Say this because it brings great hope to you. Wow. Isaiah 61:7-8. Instead of your shame, you shall have double honor. And instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. I'm going to say it again. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery for burnt offering. I will direct their work in truth and will make with them an everlasting covenant. Joel chapter 2, verses 25 through 28. I will restore to you the years the locusts have eaten because of the deception of the enemy. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be put to shame. Then you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel. I am the Lord your God, and there is no other. My people shall never be put to shame. And it shall come to pass afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. I claim seven ideas for every idea you stole from me. And I bind you now, and I loose you from your ability to attack me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, and amen, and amen. Thank you, Jesus. Now, let me minimize that. And let's go to this. Good evening, Mary. It's good to have you with us, Sister Sunday, Brother Roger. Love you guys. Good to have you guys all with us tonight. Thank you for your faith. Try this again. Thank you for your faith. And if you're interested in having that confession like that, to speak every day with us. I'm speaking that confession every day at noon, or every day at the top of the hour. so that we can see America saved in Jesus' mighty name. Now, let's go down here and let's make this confession together. Brother Dan, welcome. Good to have you. Here we go. Make this confession with me. We have the keys of the kingdom. Jesus, we proclaim, you are the Christ. Jesus says, on this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. As Jesus instructs us, we agree together for the victory. Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father, which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Now, these have become some of my most favorite verses to speak over you, speak over our loved ones. Say this with me right now. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I speak over every one of my relatives.
I speak over every one of my relatives.
That
I speak over every one of my relatives.
That they will see the truth of these verses.
They will see
the truth of these verses.
Give them a dream in the night season.
Give them a dream in the night season.
That totally transforms their lives.
Totally transforms
their lives.
Because you adjust all those false doctrines. I pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Here we go. There is one body and one spirit, just as we were called, and one hope of our calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in us all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Thank you, Father, for your grace and your gift in my life. Jesus himself is the one who gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. God bless the fivefold ministry with boldness, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that I may be filled with all the fullness of God. Say it again. That I may be filled with all the fullness of God. Ephesians 4, so that we will no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Father, expose the wicked plotting of wicked spiritual leaders, but speaking the truth in love, we all grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by that which every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. I bring my gift and my supply to this body of believers today. Use me to be a blessing to others in Jesus' mighty name. I like my new slide I just made. The blood of Jesus speaks a better word. The blood of every martyr, every fallen soldier, every child that's been aborted cries out today, Father, bring heaven's justice against these workers of iniquity who pervert our justice system and destroy our children. We ask for your mercy. We repent of the sins of this nation. We seek your face, Lord. We turn from our wicked ways. Forgive us of our sins, Lord. Forgive us of our sins and heal our land. Now, before we say this slide, I declare right now over every patriotic event, every political process, for every one of our great politicians that have fought so hard to get elected and help change things in America, Father, I declare that the October surprise is going to be these men and women of God are propelled to the forefront in this election, that their name is heard everywhere amongst everybody. Their campaigns will have supernatural finances. Billionaires will get involved to help them. And we'll flip this so hard that it is heard all over the world that righteousness has come back to America and exalted this great nation. We declare that righteousness hits so hard on the election that the perverts in the wrong bathroom run and hide, because we are the righteous and we're bold as a lion. Say it with me. We join the voices of every great prayer warrior, patriot warrior, passionate patriot of this great nation, and we declare, God bless America. We thank you, Father, for your many abundant blessings in and on this land. Say it boldly. We, the people, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America, the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. And among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And now, the Patriot Prayer of Dedication. Now, pause for a minute. I've had some people say, Pastor, why do you keep saying it and saying it? Guys, if we don't make these statements from our founding fathers, the wicked side are cursing them every day. And we've got to give them life every single day. Stand in your own house all by yourself and say the Pledge of Allegiance just for the fact that it's being proclaimed across this nation. Father, us the living, to be dedicated to the unfinished work which these fought for and so nobly advanced. Help us be dedicated to the great task that remains before us, that from these honored fallen, we take increased devotion to the cause for which they gave that last full measure of devotion. We highly resolve that these shall not have fallen in vain. We declare this nation under God is experiencing a new birth of freedom right here, right now, today. We declare this government of the people, say it boldly, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from this earth. Long will our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us, Lord, by thy great might. Great God, our King, forgive us of our sin, Lord, and heal our land. We seek your face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. And now our declaration against the isms. In the name, high above every name, high above every principality, high above every power, might, and dominion. In the name of Jesus, we stand in the blood and righteousness of Jesus. And we bind all of the effects of the isms, atheism, secular humanism, communism, socialism, feminism, male chauvinism, racism, and all isms. It is impossible for your wickedness to overcome the United States of America's righteousness, which is our strength. Righteousness exalts this nation. God said, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. We're making a declaration against them in the realm of the spirit with the most powerful voice there is, the voice of Jesus. To all the isms, you have no right or claim or historic authority to our promised land. We know who we are. We will not yield our weapons of protection to you, not our Bibles, our Constitution, or our rifles. You may think we've been driven off, but we, the children of God, have returned to our God and have joined together in agreement to rebuild every wall that seems to be torn down in the realm of the spirit and in the natural. We declare that every weapon you have formed against freedom comes back on you now. Every pit you have dug for freedom, liberty, and the United States of America to fall into, you fall into yourself and are destroyed immediately in Jesus' name. Psalm 144:14. Our enemies will not invade our land, and there will be no breach in our walls. These are the walls we are rebuilding, the walls of righteousness. Now, pause for a minute with me. Let's keep going. I got about 5 or 6 more screens I want to do because I want to get to the one about the blood of Jesus, seeing how tonight is the night it is. We bind the perverse spiritual forces behind humanism, declaring that by the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit, the humanistic agenda and all of its yokes are destroyed by the word of truth. All of its efforts are dead from the roots up, and the believers will say like the disciples, Master, that tree we cursed, humanism, it's dead. With your authority, might, dominion, and empowerment, we prophesy the end of the humanistic agenda now. The voices of the ecclesia will continually become louder than the voices of the humanist abomination until they are no longer heard. We are the righteous. We are as bold as the lion of the tribe of Judah in us. We raised our voices louder than the government. We know as we pray, you hear our voice in heaven, and their voice will no longer be heard by man on earth, because people see the truth and turn them off. We know you hear our prayers. We know we have the petition that we ask. Pause for a minute. I'm going to read my prayer. There's thousands, millions of people praying this prayer. Jesus, I plead the blood over my sins and the sins of my nation. God, the greatest judge of the earth and abortion, send revival to America. Thank you for your mercy and your grace. America shall be saved. We know you are baptizing the body of Christ, power from on high, to contend for the faith. Take authority over this force of wickedness. We declare deliverance and salvation comes today to those who have been bound by its deception. We believe that all across this land, a powerful demonstration of your ecclesia will be seen continually. We ask for it, we declare it, we prophesy it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And now, here we go. The only thing that stops our prayers from working is unforgiveness. So pray this with me. We forgive everyone who has ever offended us, hurt us, betrayed us, deceived us, stolen from us, lied about us, abused us, come against us, our ancestors or our descendants in any way. We drop the charges now. According to Isaiah 54:17, we condemn every word that has ever been spoken against our lives, against me or my family, even my own words of confusion or pain or trauma. We declare all of those negative words fall powerless now. According to the word of God in the courtroom of heaven, I make my legal demand against the enemy for disturbing my peace and interrupting the assignment I was given by God at my conception. The thief must repay 7 times and double for any shame it has caused in my life as a believer. Thank you, Lord. You execute righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. We pursue God's high calling, anointed by the Holy Spirit. We are whole, and God is our only source. God's angels are on assignment to minister to us and for us. Numbers 23:23 declares, surely there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination against Israel. According to this time, it shall be said of Israel and the ecclesia, look what God has done. In the name of Jesus, we bind, resist, and cast away tyranny and mind control, strife and division, scornfulness, fear, and unbelief. We loose God's love on the earth, and we bind all of the hatred, rage, violence, and destruction, foolishness and ignorance, rebellion, and lack of respect for authority. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. May the Lord execute vengeance against every wicked agent who dares to attack the righteous. In the name of Jesus, we're reclaiming all the ground for the Lord. We're advancing in full force, clothed in the armor of God. We have on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness. Our loins are girded with truth, and our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We take the shield of faith and quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. We wield the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. In the name of Jesus, we bind and cast under our feet all spirits of deception sent to nullify our faith or our kingdom impact on this. It's written, the Lord shall curse him who curses us. For it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble us. So we release the vengeance of the Lord and tribulation to all of you sham enforcers of darkness sent to trouble us. We command you to go back into your place under our feet into outer darkness. We resist you. Our community of faith resists you. We command you to flee from us. Your works have been destroyed and you are powerless over us. We draw the bloodline of Jesus around us, around our spirits, around our souls and our bodies, our families, homes, communities, relationships, our assets, businesses, churches, and ministry. Deception, you cannot trespass the blood. You shall reap a thousandfold harvest upon yourself for your rebellion and for all you've plagued humanity with. Every pit that you have dug, every trap you set for the righteous, you shall fall into it yourself. In Jesus' name, we call it done now. And now, it's an interesting night. I'm just following the Holy Spirit, guys. I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. Shout it, I am God's people. Woo! God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There'll be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. And he sat on the throne and said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Behold, I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and the morning star, and the Spirit. And the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. Who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen and amen and amen. Now, welcome, everybody. We haven't done that in the evening in quite a while. There we go. Still got to get this moved. Huh. Well, there we go. Roger and Sonny, bless you guys. You know, the closer we get to the election, that the more you and I got to push. What happened to my chat here? The more you and I got to push against this wall. We are at a point of breakthrough in our nation. And this morning, in our morning prayer time, I believe I spoke by the Spirit that 15 more Democrats are going to come to the other side. And not just in a switch, but in their mentality, their heart is not with that. And Tulsi Gabbard gave them the courage to do the same thing. And they're going to switch, and they're going to go full Republican, and they're going to be like, I'm not going to do that anymore, not going to vote with you guys, not going to have nothing to do with you. And we're going to see such a flip to righteousness. Everybody hear me? Such a flip to righteous people being in this election that the enemy is literally going to literally flee away. Literally. Now, I don't have a screen made on it, but let's pray. I bind this wicked, perverse statement that is being made in the United States of America that we're 30 days of fuel left. You are a liar. I call you out and I command your mouth to be silenced. Seal your lips with that foolishness. 100 years worth of oil right here in North Dakota, and it's just your stupid policy that's in the way. You are a messenger of Satan, and we bind you. Shut your mouth. We say, open up the pipeline and let the oil flow and put America back to work immediately. We bind every one of their meetings. We bind every phone call, every text, every email. We bind their communication to be so confused that they throw up their hands and just say, we better just do the right thing and open up the pipeline in the mighty name of Jesus. We command you to quit making stupid decisions around the world. The ignorant will be seen for their ignorance. And we, the righteous, command, you flee when we're not chasing you. And I guarantee you we're chasing you right now. So run, baby, run, because we're on your tail. In the mighty name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus, angels of the Lord, you surround this nation and protect us. Keep us safe in all of our ways. We will not dash our foot against a stone. 1,000 may fall at our side and 10,000 at our right hand. And may every wicked dictator around the world that's got their eyes on America run because they see the righteousness and it causes them so much fear. May they turn their life over to you, Jesus. We are not playing any of these stupid games. You are wicked and you are perverse and we bind you. You stop violating our Constitution. We the people have a choice. And our great reserve, not you. You don't get to make that decision. We bind you in Jesus' name. And we command you to cease and desist this wicked operation. In Jesus' mighty name, God said, the blessing of the Lord that makes rich and adds no sorrow with it will be on our lives. God said over us believers, we're blessed when we come in and when we go out. We're blessed when we rise up, when we lay down. We are blessed in the city and in the field. We are blessed in the fruit of our body. God, you said you would set us high above all the nations of the earth. And we would lend to many nations and not borrow. You said that that the enemy would come out against us one way and they would flee seven ways. Flee! You foul enemies, flee this nation of this one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. In the mighty name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus, we command this now. We declare your systems fail. We declare we're the head and not you. We're above only. And not beneath. And all these blessings come up on us and overtake us in Jesus' mighty name. We call on you, big business. Turn your back on these wicked liars as fast as you can. Silent billionaires, become loud and vocal. And may this wave, this tidal wave will sweep this nation and go across this earth. World. In the words of George Washington, as he wrote the vision there at wherever it was, when he wrote that vision, he said, God said by the angels, as long as the earth remains and as long as the stars remain in heaven and the dew descends upon this earth, so long will this union stand. All the nations of the world turned against us could not triumph over us. America will be saved in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen and amen. Now, you might say, well, Pastor, why all of this all of a sudden? Well, I can just see. That day's coming. What have we got? 7 days left? 7 days. And the voting begins. And every one of our men and women of God have got to be strong in their body, sound in their mind, with great courage in their soul. And the place they get that is from you and I, the intercessor, standing here and saying we put our faith in agreement with every prayer warrior team anywhere in this nation that is praying. We put our prayer in agreement and we declare thy will be done on this earth as it is in heaven, in Jesus' mighty name. Anytime you see one of these wicked, vile, corrupt politicians on the TV, turn the volume down. Don't listen to what they say. Stand there and point at the screen and just tell them, I rebuke you. Your words fall powerless to the ground. You're seen filled with confusion just like you are. And it is coming to pass right in front of our eyes. And God is blessing us because we're operating in righteousness in Jesus' mighty name. You and I, are we the people? If we don't stand up, no, never mind, I'm not even going to say it. I can't get it out right. The power of life and death's in our tongue. And I'm going to keep my tongue in the right direction, doing the right thing. Now, amen. Amen, Roger. And it will stay right here. And Father, bless every prayer warrior that's standing in the gap, making up the hedge. Bless our brothers and sisters in Israel. Bless all of them there. Bless everyone in Ukraine. And since there's such a horrible mess, turn the weapons of Russia back against them. Turn them back, Lord. Chase them back into Russia, filled with fear. May there continually be whole companies of men that defect to the other side and say, we don't want nothing to do with this. In the mighty name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus, no more carnage, no more death, no more useless bloodshed because you're a wicked dictator. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Well, I keep trying to be finished because tonight I wanted to play a video by Dr. Lester Sumrall. We've been doing good. We've been preaching. We've been believing God. And this is one of my favorite videos.
Battery 80%.
Of Dr. Sumrall. Telling the story of his life up to that point. And we've studied this before. But I want to encourage you to just sit back and enjoy this. He's just going to tell the story of his life. And if you missed it before, well, then don't miss it tonight, okay? Just don't do it because this is one of those powerful teachings on faith. I want to play it tonight because I want to be built up in faith.
Samuel Cotton, left by phone. Disconnected.
Oh, my goodness sakes alive. Would you stop talking, lady? Just stop talking. Don't worry about it. There he is. This is titled The Greatest Sermon on Faith. Who's Jesus? Well, let's go.
I appeared in court in Chicago and had to give testimony to the judge that there was a devil. They put it in the records in their law books in Chicago. That devil does possess humans. And that human can become demonized. Strangely, in America, you have to go to court to tell that, you know. But the man had killed two people, and he claimed he was demon-possessed. It was a very strange case. He said he should be set free because he was demon-possessed. You heard the old slogan, the devil made me do it. He was playing that game, but the judge was smarter. He's still in jail. Yeah. Hallelujah. Good to see you, everybody. The Lord bless you. We got back from Europe last Saturday, and we were in Germany this time. Now, I don't have, you know, 4 or 5 hours to do this. I'd like to, but I don't quite have that long. But there are 3 prophetic spots in the world. One is Russia. Now, don't get too upset about what's happening, because this is prophetic, what's happening up there. There has to be this military power to come against Israel to fulfill Ezekiel 38 and 39. And so what's happening up there is right straight down the prophetic area. So don't get scared about it. It'll be all right. And the other is the common market. We had our big giant plane, you know, the big Hercules, all over Europe. We were with the Kurds for 6 weeks, feeding the Kurds with that giant plane. And when we got our bills from Europe, our bills were in euro dollars. And they hadn't printed them yet. And they hadn't circulated them yet. And the euro dollar is worth $1.10 of American money. And we had to pay our bills for fuel and things like that in euro dollars. They want to get to 92 so bad they don't know what to do. And in 92, they will have the largest group of people in the history of the world who voluntarily used one currency. Dictators have made people do it, but they're going to do it voluntarily. We're coming to the time of the Antichrist very dramatically, very dramatically. Now, I keep going back over to Europe because reading about it, hearing about it, it doesn't go deep enough inside if you're a preacher. You have to feel it. You have to get with it, you know. So about every month, we go, and sometimes twice a month, we go and preach in the different countries of Europe. And we go across the Atlantic, across so many times, until even the stewardess says, glad to see you again. You say, what do you say? I just hate that travel. But if you're going to get to the people, you have to go. You can't get to them in a rocking chair. A rocking chair has a lot of action. It just don't go anywhere. In Hebrews 12 and 1, it says, now faith is, what is faith? A better word for faith is trust. I think you can understand it. We so abuse that little word faith until it's like a dish rag. It'll go anywhere. But trust. If you say, how much faith do I have? How much trust do you have? What is faith? I noticed you getting up and down here a little bit ago. And I didn't see one of you sit down slow. If that seat had been made of cardboard, you would. You see, why did I sit down hard? Because you saw the steel legs under there. And why would you sit down hard? Experience. What is faith? Experience. Yeah. Faith is experience. Faith is not magic. Faith is a life you live. And the reason so many people know so little about it, you think it's magic, and you're saying, give me faith, give me faith. God's saying, shut up, shut up. Because you don't know what you're talking about. You know? You say, Smith Wigglesworth had faith. He had a lot more than that, honey. He jumped out of bed about 7 o'clock in the morning and danced before the Lord for about 10 or 15 minutes, praising and magnifying God. You see, he didn't need an aspirin to get up and 2 to go to bed. Are you here?
Yeah.
Faith is a life that you live. And if you want faith to function in you, it is an act. It's not a dream, not a hope. It's an act that you perform. Faith can be so embedded inside of you until you make faith acts spontaneously.
Yeah.
In fact, I've never seen faith that was nervous. When Paul said, settle down, everybody, have a little food, everybody's safe. They were still holding on to those deck poles. And that old ship was chugging high and low. They didn't know whether they were going to make it or not. He was the only one that had faith. Because faith is never nervous. You don't have faith. Don't you have faith? Faith revealed through your eyes a look of faith. Unbelief has its own look. Faith is something that the way you walk, you know, you got it or you don't have it. Unbelief and doubt and depression get to your feet even. Unless that's your eyes. Cause some of you men to lose your hair. Well, nah, excuse me. When I was 17 years old, as the pastor said, I left my hometown in Panama City, Florida, to go out in evangelistic work. There were two things I didn't like. I didn't like churches, and I didn't like preachers. So I stayed away from them. I went out in the country to the schoolhouse. I swept the floor with myself. I had a little handbill printed, paid for it, and delivered it. Free of charge to the people, and started a revival meeting. I wasn't an exhorter, I was an exhauster. It was pitiful, you know. But when I left home, I had 65 cents in the world. Wow. Did you know I didn't realize that? Till I counted my money after I got into the revival meeting. I said, I started up here with 65 cents. And now I got some bills to pay. Got to find a way to pay those bills. Did you know that I didn't worry about my 65 cents? And you know most people say, yeah, I'm going to go out in the ministry, you know. I'm waiting for God to, huh, you're going to die where you're sitting. God does not respond. Faith is an act. It's a spontaneous act. You do it. You do it without calculating. Can I do it? Can I make it? The Lord didn't do that on this building here. He just started building the thing. Said, money, get over here in a hurry. Those new buildings, Brother Billy Joe's building up here. He didn't wait until he got all the money. He said, come on, folks. Let's walk together. And pay for it in cash. You know that must have made the devil mad. Yeah. He don't like things like that. But faith is an act. And when you when it comes spontaneously, you're living in faith. Now the devil don't want you to know that. He wants you to always say, oh God, give me faith. You wouldn't know what it was you had. You wouldn't know what to do with it. Because faith is a life that you live. It just flows from you. I had to be told by somebody. Said, did you know you had faith? I said, do it really? I didn't know it. If you'd asked me how I was living, I could tell you that. But I didn't realize that it was a faith motivation that was inside. I preached for a whole week to those farmers. No, I wouldn't call it preaching, really. I would say to those farmers, I want you to know I don't like you. And to tell you the truth, you stink. I was born in New Orleans, where we have Madison Avenue from New York. And we know how to cook. We know how to eat. And we know how to dress. You don't know any of it at all. And the only reason I'm here is because I was dying of tuberculosis. And God said, if I would preach, I could live. Thank you for being here. Somebody's got to help me live. God bless the farmers. Fortunately, they enjoyed that. Nobody's ever told them that before. After being there for a week, I said, now, let me see. You know, there has to be some money in this deal. When I went to church, I sat on the back seat and looked at the girls all the time, and I didn't know what went on, really. And so I said, now, let me see. How did they do that? They did pass some plates or something around. At least on Sunday morning, they did. I said, if I don't do that, I'm going to starve for sure. So after being there for a week, how many ever heard that phrase, pass the hat? And that's what we used to do. We'd borrow a hat. So I said, anybody loan me a hat? And an old farmer handed it, hit me his. It looked like the horse had bitten off about half of it on this side. And we took that old beaten down hat. We passed it around. And you know, as soon as we got through, you know what he said? Give me my hat. As if he was going to lose something, you know. We had an altar out in front, and I spilt the offering over onto the altar. And I counted it out loud during church. One, two. These were all pennies. There wasn't a single nickel in the offering. There wasn't a single dime in the offering. I was 17 years old and brokenhearted. I said, I don't believe I can live on that. Then I got mad. I said, any of you farmers got any chickens? Everybody raised a hand. I said, we'll put a coop outside, and I don't mean maybe you bring chickens tomorrow night. Brother, if you don't have dollars, if you got chickens, it's all the same. I said, anybody got any pigs? Every hand went up. This was during the Depression. This is 1930. And I said, we'll have a coop on this side for pigs. I don't mean maybe bring pigs tomorrow night. You should have been there the next night. We couldn't have a church. We had so many chickens cackling. We had so many pigs groaning. The pigs knew they were going to make a sacrifice. And the chickens knew that it was only an offering they were going to get. I gave it all to a farmer, and he took it to the market the next day, the wholesale market, and more money than any preacher in 50 miles. You know, just because you're 17, you don't have to be dumb. You say, was that faith? I haven't qualified that one yet. I just know in about 6 or 7 months, I bought a brand new Ford for $485. So you don't have to be poor, even in the Depression. Right. You know, everybody was saying, oh, it's a Depression. But man, you're just in the wrong place. You get out in the country where they got plenty of produce and there's no Depression out there. That's just Depression downtown where those poor folks live. We may all go back to the farm soon. Well, this went on for 3 years. And I had a good time. When I was 20 years old, God told me that I had to go and preach overseas. So I said, well, all right. I don't want to. I don't like these people, much less those. I really want to go home. That's what I want to do. The Lord said, you've got to go to the mission field. So I went to San Francisco. And when I went to get on the boat, I had $12 in the world. I had preached in San Francisco at Glad Tidings for 3 nights before I left the next day. And Dr. Craig had been there on the platform every night, and I'd preached. Souls got saved every night. I took the youth out of Bible college. I took the youth on the street for a street meeting before the service to show them how to do street meetings, because a country preacher knows how to hold street meetings. And so I listened pretty carefully to what pastors say, you know. And during those 3 nights, I noticed he never mentioned my name during the offering. And I got the idea that I wasn't going to get it. And I was right, you know. Now, he knew I was going off around the world. And he had a big church. Dr. Charles Price had been there. Amos Semper Mankiewicz had been there. Smith Wigglesworth had been there. Howard Curry had been there. They'd all been there. It was one of the greatest churches in America at that time. And I'd preached there for 3 nights. And he didn't give me anything. But he was nice. He said, I'll take you to the boat. And I said, thank you, sir. And so he got one of his Bible school students to carry my suitcase, and he carried my briefcase, and I carried my hat and my coat. And we started down to the boat there in San Francisco. On the way down, he was a tall, stately, handsome gentleman. And he leaned over a little bit and says, Brother Sumrall, who is sending you around the world? And I said, Jesus. And his face looked as if he'd thrown a ketchup at him. I could tell he got angry. He said, that's all you young people say. Jesus has nothing to do with it. Now, so I didn't know, but you see, he says, I can see you going to China and starving to death. And I'm an Irishman. And Irishmen don't know when to laugh. They just laugh anytime. And that was so funny to me. I laughed on the street. And I said, in that case, brother, would you send a little tombstone over to China? He said, I was going to do this in China. Send a little tombstone over to China. It says, here lies Lester Sumrall. He starved to death trusting Jesus. He said, I won't send it. And I said, I won't need it. So it's all right. Now, that's a bad way to leave America, you know. He was three times my age. He was over 60. And one of the general presbyters, he asked me, he said, did you ask the brethren in Springfield about this? And I said, well, no. Says, my older brother told me to do it, and the younger brothers don't have any business messing with it. You know? I said, I'd talk to the younger brothers. If the older brother says do it, you better just do it, you know. Well, he didn't like that either. 3 years later, when I got back, the first place I went was to a general counsel, and he was the first man I saw. He wrapped his arms around me, and he said, you're the nicest man in the world. He says, I'm so sorry I abused you, didn't give you any money deliberately, and spoke to you so harshly. He says, I didn't know that you were going to do what you have done. Because I had written for various magazines all over the world during that whole time that Brother Carter and I were going around the world together. And so everybody knew what was going on because we were the only ones moving around the world at that time. And so he apologized for it. And I said, that's quite all right because, you see, God was testing my faith. When I got to the dock, was he only shaking and tremble? He was helping me shake and tremble. And then say, I only got $12. My God, I can't stay in a good hotel all night. I didn't think about that at all. I just knew there are millions of people out there and I was going to go get them. And I hadn't stopped getting them yet, but I'm going after them, you see. And I knew that was the thing God had called me to do. And I went. Now, that's what you call faith. Faith is an act. And you don't wait till you got the money for it. You know, faith is an act. When God says do it, how far can you trust Jesus? That is the extent of your faith. How far can you trust him? And when your trust quits, that's the end of your faith right there. You see. But let me tell you what trust will do. As you're trusting Jesus, you get, number one, you get experience.
Amen.
And in the experience, you get knowledge.
Amen.
And so people can't shake you. You have knowledge.
Amen.
People can't say, hey, this don't work. You got experience. When you've got the real thing called faith, nobody can shake it. It's not possible for them to shake it. Because it's so bedded on the rock of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So you know that you know. And you're sure that you're sure. Hallelujah. So we went on to Australia and got off. And the first meeting we had was in the largest church in Australia, in Brisbane. In Melbourne. And so I went down and I preached for them a whole week, Sunday through Sunday. And in those days, they kept you with the saints. And if you take the S off of it, you don't know what you're talking about. We live with the saints. And we preached for a whole week. And I noticed that he never mentioned my name except to preach, not in the offering part. And it came Sunday night, and he didn't mention my name. I got no money. Now, I had spent the little I had. And I had a meeting the next night about 100 miles away. And I had no money to get there. Now, I cried all night. When you're 20, that's all right, you know, to cry all night. And then I told God, I think God likes this kind of language. I said, God, I want to tell you something. And this is it. I'll die in this room, but I won't leave until the tickets are brought here by you. I will not go on the street and say, ticket, ticket, ticket. Who's got a ticket? I said, I won't do that. I won't go down to the radio, to the railroad and say, anybody got my ticket? Anybody got my... I says, I'll stay in this room. If you can't supply my needs here, you couldn't out there anyway. So I stayed in that room. And the next morning, the lady of the house knocked on the door, a very gracious person, says, breakfast is ready. I said, I don't want any. Thank you. I stayed in that room with the door locked. I kept telling God, you call me to go around the world and preach. Amen. This is the first place. And just like the last place, I didn't get any money. I didn't realize it at the time like I do now. Before we got a way off out there, God wanted to be sure I wouldn't turn back. And it didn't have one that would quit and go home. You see. And so I was there praying. About an hour after that, the lady of the house knocked on the door again and said, Brother Samuel, there's a gentleman here to see you. I said, Brother, tell him to come in. So I opened the door. Now let me tell you what faith is. When I got up that morning, I showered and I dressed. I packed my suitcase. I packed my briefcase, which was a big one. And I put it by the door. And I laid my coat on it and my hat on it. And I said, God, for your information, anytime you bring the tickets, I'm ready. You know what you'd have done? It would have taken you an hour after the tickets arrived. You'd have still missed the plane or the train. Are you here? You do your part first, but before God does his. And if you're not willing to do your part, God's not willing to do his part. Is that all right? Here stood this Australian, a great big man, with tears running down his face. I said, oh, dear God, I got enough trouble without you. He said, I couldn't sleep last night. Well, I said, I didn't either. What's wrong with you? He says, if God don't reveal this ring right, I won't ever have any faith. I said, I wouldn't either. What are you talking about? I thought him and his wife would have a quarrel or something. He said, no, we all know that you're rich. I have more opportunities to laugh than any little man you've ever seen in your life, you know. I didn't have a dollar, 10,000 miles from home. And then I realized that Brother Greenwood hadn't given me any money because it got circulated that I was very rich. Now, you know, it's a great asset to you if you can look rich when you're poor. You can borrow money on your face. I bought a TV station that way. Yeah. He said, I'd like to do business with a prosperous man. And I saw him look at me up and down. I said, thank you, sir. We signed for over $1 million and I didn't have 10,000 in the world. I said, what's wrong with you, sir? He said, now we all know you're rich and I trust you. Did you know when people tell me I'm rich, it makes me feel so good, I don't say anything about it. Yeah, it's a good feeling. You can't spend it, but it's a good feeling. It'll make you younger, you know. Yeah. But he said, God woke me up and said, you don't understand that this American doesn't understand our train system. Says, to go where you're going today, you have to have a reserved place on that train. It's a reserved train. You don't just go buy a ticket and get on it. And it also, besides being a reserved train, it's a reserved seat. You get seat number 12 and coach number 14. And says, you have to have two tickets to ride that train. I said, never heard of it in my life. Don't even know what you're talking about. But he says, God told me to go and buy those tickets. That's the reason I said, if this don't work, I'd never trust God again. Because we know you're rich. But you don't know our train system. And so I went and got two tickets. And here they are. I said, thank God. Hallelujah, the Lord God. Omnipotent reign it, you know. He grabbed my suitcase and I grabbed my briefcase. And two of the happiest men in the world. When we said goodbye at that train station, brother, we were flapping both wings at each other, you know. You say, why? Well, he had heard from God. I didn't have any ticket. I heard from God.
Come on.
I said, I'm not leaving this room till the tickets arrive. I'm not going outside this room. You will bring them here or I'll die here. That's what you call resolution. When you trust God like that, he turn hell over for you, you know. But you don't start saying, I'm going to give up. I'm going to quit. I'm going to go home. I'm going to get me a job, make a little money. No, no. You say, bring them in. Bring them in. Bring it in. I'm ready. You see. And God says, hey, I like that. That's trust. Trust me to do it. And so we had a great time in Australia. 3 months, 4 months there. Went on around to Java. Had a great time in Java. Went on into Singapore. Went up to Hong Kong. And the war was on in China. And hundreds of missionaries are in Hong Kong. They had run out of the interior because of the war. And so we had a great, I guess you'd call the thing a convention. They had a big hall down on the main street there in Kowloon. And the people were there, hundreds of them. Well, Brother Carter has a gift for laying on of hands for the Holy Ghost. So he'd have his meeting over in another area. And I get people saved and healed. I'd have mine in another area. And so we were having two meetings a night and having a great move of God in Hong Kong. The missionary that was keeping all of us lived fairly close to the rented church building. And he lived up on the second floor. They called it the first floor. Up on the second floor. And on the big porch every night, all the missionaries would sit out there, 12, 15, 20 of them, and have a cup of tea. And you know what they talked about? Tibet. Tibet's never had a visitor to come to it. Nobody will dare go to Tibet. Says, would you two men go to Tibet? Brother Carter was a courageous man. He said, yes, we will go. I had 10 cents in the world. Now, Mr. Carter was an Englishman from London. And when we first met, I guess in the first hour, he was twice my age. He said, young man, I never discuss finances. I'm a man of faith. I never discuss finances. Being an Irishman, I wanted to say, and you ain't married either. But you know, I kept quiet for the time being. He said, as long as we're together, we preach together, you get half the offering, I get half. If an occasion comes and you can't buy your own ticket, you stay till you can, and I'll go. Or if you can buy your tickets the next place and I can't, I'll stay and I'll meet you back over there when I get it. So we were two separate entities and no communist pocketbook or socialist either. And being older, he got along a little better. I figured, I never did find out because we didn't discuss it. But there in Hong Kong, he said, we're going to Tibet. And I said, yeah. Where are you going? I couldn't mail a letter. I only had 10 cents. I couldn't ride the streetcar downtown and back. I didn't have anything. And the devil said, you're not going to Tibet. You're going to stay right here. Well, I said, no. The missionary said, no, nobody's going to Tibet and preach. We're going to go. He says, well, you can't go. You only got 10 cents. Now, if you've got 10 cents, you're not broke. You're bent. But you're not broke. And I kept that 10 cents right in my front pocket so I could feel it. It's nice to feel it, you know. I kept looking in the mail every day for something from America. God never helps you the way you want him to. It happens to be his business and not yours. If he goes, oh, this one's going to give me money, that'll be the last one to ever give you anything. You have to let God do what he wants to do. Well, I began to, that was my first time in the Orient. I was 21 years old now. And I had to get people saved and then pray for the sick. And in both cases, all the Chinese looked alike. Now, you see, this was 34 and 35, 1935. And they all wore the same kind of clothes. They weren't colorful in those days. Same, hair was all black, eyes all black. And most of the women look exactly alike. And after I'd prayed for about 2 hours, I said, it seems to me like you folks are making a circle. And I've already been around two or three times because I couldn't tell the difference in them. Brother Carter was getting hundreds of people through to the Holy Ghost and missionaries through to the gifts to where they could lay hands on others and they'd receive the gifts of speaking in tongues in the services and interpreting tongues and prophesying. We were having a great time, except every night that bunch of missionaries talked about Tibet. Brother Carter was here, you know. Yeah, we're going to Tibet. Yes, we are. And poor little me said, yeah. The devil said, how are you going to go? You'd only have a dime. How are you going to go? One night, a Chinese lady broke the line. We were praying for the sick. She broke the line, came up. She had her servant that had 3 boxes of canned California fruit. You know, those have about 12, 14 cans in a case, you know, wooden case. And she had 3 of those. In those days, it was worth a fortune, you know. They came from California. And this lady said, I want to give you some fruit for Tibet. And I could hear the devil roar with laughter. So the servant set it down on the side of the platform, and I looked at it, and the devil would laugh again. He said, you're going to eat that fruit in Hong Kong. I said, that fruit's not going to Tibet. You don't have any money to go to Tibet on. You're going to eat that fruit in Hong Kong. I said, no. If you can't be positive, neither can God. You got to remember that. I said, no, I'm going to eat that fruit in Tibet. So I took those 3 wooden cases over to my room, and I stuck them in the room, a very small room, and there they were by my bed. And the devil seemed to laugh all night about it. Fruit for Tibet, even in Hong Kong. And I said, no, I'm going to Tibet. He says, you can't go on a dime. You can't get downtown. You can't buy a ticket on the ship that goes across to Hanoi, Haiphong, that little French railroad that goes up to the backside of Indochina, which is now Vietnam, that goes back into Yunnan province on the backside of China. It costs a lot of money to ride it. You don't have any. And I didn't know anything about it. I said, yeah. A few nights later, the same little woman broke the line again. She says, may I talk to you a moment? I said, yes. Because I'm the one who brought the fruit. Yeah? Thank you. Thank you. So over in my room. She said, my husband is a general in Chiang Kai-shek's army. He says, we're very wealthy people. He sent me down to the British hospital here to get an operation for cancer in my belly. And said, I came and they x-rayed me. Says, you're eating up with cancer. Says, we may operate, we don't know, but you have to build up some strength first. She said, the first night I got out and walked on the street, looked up and saw a sign, and the only word on it was healing. Says, I just looked at it and said, healing, healing. Heal means to get better, healing, getting better. She had never seen anything like it in her life. It was a healing crusade. And she says, I'll go and see what this is about. And she was one of those little women that made the circle 2 or 3 times every night. She said, the next day I went back to the hospital, and I said, I want you to x-ray me, please. Says, compare it to yesterday's x-ray. It says they did, and the doctors came back in the funniest looking faces. They said, are you the same woman as you yesterday? Yeah, I'm the same one. Says, that cancer's gone.
Glory to God.
Says, it was all over your belly. Inside. It's not there anymore. She said, you sure? I said, well, there's the x-rays if you can read them. Says, I came back that night, but I didn't tell you. I just got in the healing line again. Get healed. So the next day, I went back to the hospital, and I said, more x-rays, please. And if you got money there, make x-rays for you. And so she had another x-ray made. The doctor says, see, you had cancer. You don't, and you don't. Says, are you satisfied now? She came back for prayer the next night to be healed. I asked one woman, I said, woman, didn't I see you here last night getting prayed for? Yeah. Well, did you get healed? Yeah. I said, what you doing up here tonight? Well, I heard you going to Tibet. And said, I might get sick while you're gone. And I'll get this one, and I'll use it while you're gone. I knew you Chinese were the smartest people in the world. I knew that. So she went four times and got x-rayed. Finally, the doctor said, don't come back here anymore. He says, we'll put these x-rays in big containers and you can take them back to your husband. He can call in a doctor. You'll see that the thing is gone, that you don't. And they said, you don't have any pain? You don't use any medicine? No pain and no medicine. He says, well, you don't have any. So we don't know what happened, but we just know that you don't have cancer. And so she said, I was praying, and the Lord said, no, you've been blessed by this young American. Says, you need to give him the money that you would give to the doctor and to the hospital. So she said, that seems fair. I'll do that, Lord. And he said, I brought you the money. And it was in one of these little envelopes, bank envelopes, you know, the little brown ones, you know, not quite right as a regular envelope, go up and down that way. And she handed it to me, and I said, thank you, madam. You know, man, this is a kind of fast movie. I just jammed it in my pocket and kept praying for the sick, you know. So we went ahead and prayed for the sick another hour or two. And then we went over, and on that porch where it was real hot, on that porch, and all the missionaries talked again. Tibet, so beautiful. Butterflies. That light, beautiful flowers growing in the trees. It's so wonderful. It's so, no place on earth is so beautiful as those snow-capped mountains. And but of course, yeah. And I had to stay quiet because I had a dime. And so we had tea and we went in. I mean, I went into my bedroom, took off my clothes and put on my pajamas and laid down in the bed. And God said, you didn't look at that envelope. And I said, no, I didn't. I said, $100 Hong Kong is not going to help me any. And so I said, just excuse me, I'm going to sleep. I turned over and God said, you got the brown envelope there in your pocket. I said, I'll look at it tomorrow. I don't like to worry all night because I don't have enough. Turned over to go to sleep. The Lord said, you got an envelope in your pocket. I said, well, it'll please you, I'll get up then. So I got up and turned on the light, went over to the ship aerobic, kind of an old-fashioned place, the ship aerobic, and reached in, and I found that envelope. I said, I'll open it. So I tore it open. You know what it was? It was a $100 bill, American.
All right.
Did you know I had never had one in my life? Brother, in the 1930s, nobody but the banks and the mafia had $100 bills. Yeah. $1 bills is what went to church. $5 bills went to the grocery store. $10 bills went to the bank for your savings. That's about as high as anybody got. That was money. You could live all day long and eat all day long on a dollar in those days. Of course, you didn't make much money either. But there was a $100 bill. I didn't know what to do. I'd never had one. I'd always use fives and tens and twenties. But I had never had one of those. So I reached in to take everything out. They were all $100 bills. They had never been used by the public yet. Did you ever smell? Did you ever smell new money? Smells good, don't it? It's just rotten money that rotten people have used too many times. And the beer goozlers that don't smell good. I said, how many ever flip money? Yeah. I flipped, and I said, I better count it. There were 31 $100 bills. I never had so much money in my life, you know. $3,100 and $100 bills. I got ecstatic. I didn't know her name. I couldn't pronounce her name. She was now going back to her husband, who was a general in the army. And I had fruit for Tibet and money to prove it. Now, there's only one sad thing. The next morning, when we went down to breakfast, had a little envelope by my plate and I kept. I wanted to talk some bad. bad. I didn't know what to do. But we were under covenant not to discuss money. I wanted to share it. I wanted to say 15 for you and 16 for me. Well, being older, he should get the 16. But we had a covenant that we couldn't talk about money. So I was just, so I spoke up and I said, I'm going down to buy my ticket today. I don't know whether the car is ready for his or not, but I'm going down to buy my ticket today. And all those missionaries looked at one another. I was just a kid. I was the youngest one present, you know. We hadn't gotten any offer yet from the local church, which would be dividing. And sure enough, I went on down. I bought my ticket across the Gulf of Tonkin into what you call, it was French Indochina that day. We call it Vietnam today. I bought my ticket on that little narrow gauge rail that went 3 days' journey back into the mountains, Turbo Mountains, in the southwest China. And I went to get one of those things cashed, one of those $100 bills. Well, $1 American was 2,500 of theirs. So when I went to the bank, I took a big suitcase with me. Empty. Cash $100 and needed help. I couldn't get it all in the suitcase, but finally. And it was real money. Real money. You say, did you live all through China? All through Tibet? No, honey. I lived through Russia, Siberia, Japan, Korea, and Poland. For that money I've got used up. It was good money. When you only have a dime and you got Jesus, you got it made. God was training me to be a person of faith. And you know what I desire with all my heart? That when I die, if I die, that's kind of, may not happen, you know. I've been here so many generations already. That if I die, I want them to put a little tombstone. And I don't want them to mention that I was a pastor. And I don't want them to mention that I was a missionary. And I don't want them to mention that I was an author that wrote books. And I don't want them to mention that I was, you know, a missionary of any kind. I didn't want them to mention anything about television stations. I only want them to put one little line on there. Here lies Lester Sumrall, a man of faith. That's all I want. I'll be quite satisfied. A man of faith. How did it come? It grew like a godly vine. Yours will grow. You know why yours don't grow? You won't work it. You got to keep replanting that seed, you know. And if you don't work it, it won't grow. We own 10 TV stations, 9 of them on the air, and the one over in Oklahoma City will be on the air shortly from now. And God gave them to us, you see. But we had to take them by faith. We didn't have money. We just had to say, hey, I believe. And that first TV station that I bought, I signed my name to it. And the man we bought it from says, oh, I'd love to do business with prosperous people like you. I said, thank you, sir. Thank you. It wasn't 3 weeks before a man in Oregon sent me a check for $125,000. I didn't know him. Never did know him. He just in a meeting like this. Another man, another doctor. Thank God for the doctors. I wish the lawyers would catch on. Another doctor gave me $65,000. And I said, hey, Lord, this is great. The Lord said, no, this is great. You signed your name and my name. I said, I've never gotten money like this before. He said, you never bought a TV station before. Until you're doing more, you don't get more. God's not a waster, you see. And God wants to, I believe, God wants to bless all of us. Amen. My wife and I came home from the Philippines. We didn't have a folding chair. We came home in our suitcases. All the work of a lifetime. We're giving it away to others. Churches are built. And let the people own them themselves. We didn't have a thing. God says, I'll bless you. And if I'm going to go through that, you'd be amazed at what he did. And we just walked along in faith. And he did it. But the Lord spoke to me one day, and he said, you know, you've got this thing just a little backwards. I said, I thought it was pretty good. He said, no. He says, my word says give, and it should be given unto you. He says, you've been in the baby class all this time. Gimme, 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 gimme. Says, now, the richest gifts come when you plant and give. And then I give you more than you planted. Well, I've never had anybody talk like that. Brother Hagin was still a little boy in Texas. He hadn't gotten going with it yet. I didn't know anything about a thing like that. And you know what? You say, how did this thing get started then? Well, I was crossing the country from Chicago and going through Minneapolis, going up into the northwest of our country. And in Minneapolis, I was preaching in Bible schools. I love Bible schools. And I was preaching in the Bible school there, North Central Bible College, and for two or three days. And I was to go out for lunch with the president, you know. It was noontime, and I heard him scream at somebody. He said, send them home, send them home. And I'm inquisitive. I said, who are you going to send home? Brother Lindquist says, I got six young men here, and they're not paying their bill. Don't look to me like they're trying. And I'm sending them home. And I said, you can't do that. They might even backslide and go to hell because you sent them home. That's for sure. They'll be ashamed. They get home, they can't hold up their head. They failed. You sent them home. He didn't pay any attention to me. So I walked into the room where the secretary usually was. She was out to lunch. And I said, God, can't you supply the need for these six young men? God said, sure I can. Well, I said, let's do it. He says, fine. Get your pocketbook out. I said, that brand new car of yours parked out in front of the school, take the title deed, sign your name over to this school, and give them the car before lunch. You get behind me, Satan. That car didn't have 3,000 miles on it. I didn't want to give it up.
Come on.
I says, well, you prayed for me to supply their needs. And it says, you can do it. Give them the car. So I got my ownership title out. I signed it over to the school, walked in there, says, here's a new car out in front. It's a pretty color. It's bright red. I don't like dull colors. And I said, God told me to give it. You sell it, pay their way through school, but don't ever tell them who did it, because it sure wasn't me. I wanted to keep that car. He accepted it very joyfully and went ahead and sold the car and paid six young men through to Bible college. But I got on that old Great Northern Express train the next morning. Remember those old engines, you know? Ooh, they were so big. And when I got on it and sat down in the third class, I heard them start choo 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 choo. And it didn't choo choo, it said, you're a fool, you're a fool, you're a fool. I said, no, I'm not a fool. And I wish they could have started it with one chug, but they never could do it. So he said, chug, 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 chug. And the devil was saying, you're a fool, you're a fool, you're a fool. And I said, no, no. I went on out west and then went into Alaska and raised up three churches. And they're still the three best churches in Alaska. And Ketchikan. And Anchorage and what's the town up above there?
Fairbanks.
Fairbanks. And so stayed up there went up in September and sailed through the winter months until the next spring and had a great time preaching. Came back and the war was on. There wasn't a single company in America making a car. Not one. They were all making tanks, machine guns. There were no cars except secondhand ones. And they were very expensive because there were no cars being made. So I preached along until I got over to Detroit, and Von Bowman, a very close friend of mine, pastored there. And so I stayed at his home, and he said, how you doing, Lester? And I said, pretty fine. Just came back out of Alaska, had a good time. He says, doing all right? And I said, oh, yeah, doing all right. I didn't even tell him about the car. And I said, Mr. Gooch over here at the American Motors is a friend of mine. He's a Baptist, but he likes to hear me preach on prophecy. And I just came out of Germany and Russia, so let me get a hold of him. So he called over there for Gooch, and I talked to him, said, got any cars? Oh, he said, no, we're making tanks over here. And says, you mean you don't have it all? And he says, well, out on the yard out there, where they usually have, 10,000 or 15,000, he says, there are 200 or 300 sitting out there, smelling them so deep like that because of the filth around the factory here. And he says, do you have a car? And I said, no, I don't have a car, no. He said, let me talk to Bowman. So he talked to the pastor, and the pastor hung up the phone and said, let's head over to St. Gooch. Well, it's the middle of the afternoon. I said, well, all right. So we got in his car, and he lived on the 5 mile road there in Detroit, and the factory's over on the 8 mile road. So we went buzzing over to the 8 mile road, and he had the big steel fence open. So we drove right in. And out in the middle of that vast yard where they used to keep cars was a little glass cubicle, and this big fat man was in there, Gooch. And so I walked in. He just always loved me. Every time I'd come to Detroit, he'd come over and listen to me preach, even though he was a Baptist. And he hugged me and said, how are you getting along? I said, fine, fine. He says, you don't have a car. And I said, I never did tell him. He said, no, I don't have a car. I just came back from Alaska. I don't have a car. And he says, take this rag. And he gave me a big old dirty rag about that big. He says, go out there and smudge around, see if there's any color you might like. And I said, what good would that do? Oh, he says, it won't hurt you. Go do it. So I went out there and I took that big old dirty rag and smudged around. That one was black. I said, I don't need to take that one off. Another one, it was black. Another one, blue. No. Then I came. to my color. Yeah. It was as red as that chair. I said, that's my kind. So I rubbed it a little bit and went walking back over. And I said, yeah, there's a nice one out there. See? And he reached up and got some keys and fiddled around. And he said, go over and bring it over to me. He said, I want to look at it. And so here the key says the battery's in it. And so I went over and started the thing and drove it over to the glass cubicle. By the time I got there, he had a white sheet of paper about this long, about that deep. And it says, be sure to get a Michigan State tag license plate. Then I said, well, Bowman must have bought a car here. And I didn't know that the factory sold cars to people that were not dealers. He went out and pasted that thing on the car. Then he fiddled around in the glove box. And he came back. He says, somehow I really like you. And I said, well, thank you. Appreciate that. He says, just get that car and get out of here, would you? I said, do what? You want me to go to jail, do you? I said, I don't own any car. He says, if you look in the glove box, you do. He says, drive on out of here. Says, Bowman and I have a few things to talk about anyway. I got in a great, big, beautiful four-door car. I gave away a peanut and got a pumpkin. Yeah. 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 You know? This big car, I took it over to a place at a filling station where they wash cars. They wouldn't take any money. They wanted to touch my red car. Everybody came around and said, woo! I said, it's mine. Yeah. say they washed that thing up. I was the only person in town with a new car. And I felt so good about it. The Lord rebuked me. He says, you don't need to feel that way. Said, if you hadn't given your car to the Bible school students, I would not have given you this car. He did not do it. I did it through him. That'll sober you up, you know. That'll teach you what faith is all about. If you plant, you receive. Now, that's what Jesus said. But you know, some people won't plant. They don't even eat their own seed and not even plant it to where you can get a harvest from the thing. And I said, isn't that something? Isn't that something? Now, I began to live like that after that. That when I want something, rather than asking for it, I give something. Because I'm planting it for something bigger than I have. Don't have enough to get what I need, so I give what I got to get what I need. You see? I have a seed, and I have a need. So I plant the seed to receive the need. Are you here? It works. You see. Now, I wouldn't be able to have television stations today, a shortwave station that's heard all over the world, all over the face of this earth. A few days ago, we read a letter from a man in an American nuclear submarine. He said, you sure sound good down here. He said, all the men on this submarine are listening to you. I said, what a letter. And his letterhead was marked for that submarine, American submarine. And they were picking up. He said, we are in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean listening to you every day preach the gospel of Jesus. Hallelujah! But if you don't plant, you can't receive back, you see. A couple of years ago, a man walked into my office. And most of you have heard of him by now, I'm sure. And we've been good friends together, and I've given him quite a bit of money for his missionary work. And he said, you know, I need a truck. Would you buy it for me? Yeah, I'll buy it. Don't ask me for stuff. I don't have much brains. I just give it away. I said, yeah, I'll buy you a truck. I said, how much is it? He says, it's $40,000. That's just for the port where the engine is, you know, that's not the trailer. And so it says $40,000. And I didn't have it. You say, what in the world did you do? You already said you'd give it to him. Well, at that time we were building our church in South Bend. And I looked over and we had that amount in the building fund. And so I took all of the building fund and gave it away. How many are glad that I didn't have any deacons? They said the preacher's going crazy. Let him leave town in a hurry before he gives something else away. You know? Yeah. I gave it away. And the devil tormented me. We had to slow the project down. We had to tell the men that we don't have any money for a few weeks just because we built that thing paying cash the day we completed it, it was all paid for. And so we had to slow the progress down and because we'd given our money away. Did you know it wasn't just maybe 3 weeks or 4 weeks, the telephone rang. And the gentleman on the end says, I'm Dr. So-and-so from another city. He says, I have a love gift for you. Could I meet you at the TV station? You can always meet me at the TV station. I said, yes, sir. So I went over, and he said, the Lord has given me some money, and I want your television station here. At that time, he wasn't Pentecostal. I want your TV. So I'd have to take this gift that I have and give it, part of it to every minister on your station. And he said, I just thought that would be so nice. But I didn't say a word. You know, best to keep your mouth shut when it's not your money. But he said, God spoke to me and said, I had to give you all of the money, and I didn't want to. I said to my wife, would you pray for 2 days and tell me what God tells you? She said, yes. She prayed for 2 days and also fasted, and she came back and said, you don't like what God said. I said, what did God say? She says, God told me that you're supposed to give all of that money to Brother Sandoval, and you're not to divide it. And so now she says, we have to do it. We have the witness of two. Well, I said, thank you. And he pulled an envelope out and says, it's in this envelope here. I said, may I pray for you? So I laid the envelope down and said, God bless this medical doctor. We're so glad he blesses so many people. Bless him and enrich him in every way that you can. And said, thank you. And he left. He and his wife left. Did you know we open those envelopes rather quickly these days? Don't we, Pastor? I opened it up. It was $150,000. And when a preacher gets a check for $150,000, you know what he does? He says, whoo, 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 whoo. He becomes a wild Indian. Who does he ever? You know, I got so happy. And God says, shut up. I said, it's a nice gift. He said, I made him do that. He didn't want to do it. Says, if you hadn't given the missionary the $40,000, I would have never have given you the $150,000. And all I could think of after that was, if you give to the poor, that you lend to the Lord, and his interest is better than Oklahoma. I believe if God could get into our bosoms, you know, that if you plant, you get back. In fact, I have to do a little planting here tonight, if you don't mind, because I have such a big need right out there in front of me, such a colossal need, that I want to do some planting here tonight. You say, well, how do you want to plant tonight? Ever since I met your wonderful pastor, such a remarkable person he is, I wanted the whole of America to see him and hear him. His words of wisdom are so inspiring. His counsel is, I was noticing as he spoke tonight, is so gracious and so kind. America, not just you bunch in Oklahoma. America needs to hear this man. Do you believe that? Well, we've talked to him for several years about this because we just feel like God wants to make him a national expression of the love and the power of God. I just believe it with all my heart, you know. I don't want to worry him too much, but every time I see him, I keep telling him the same thing. And since last year this time, through Brother Oral Roberts, you got that big, beautiful van out there, and he got this beautiful cameras that you're looking at here, and they belong to this church here. I'm really glad for that. Amen. Yeah. And I told him, it's time now. It's time now. We can't wait any longer. People will go to hell. People will commit suicide. People will become devastated and lose their faith in God. And we need you, not just in one place. We need you all over this nation. And he's ready to do that. He is ready to do that. He's ready. He's been ready all the time. But the moment has come to do it now. And from all my heart, I want us to do something tonight. You say, what do you want us to do? At least for my stations that he's on, I hope he goes on all nine of them that are on the air right now. Rod Parsley, I babied him into this television business because we worked with him when he didn't have over 100 people. And that good preaching that he got it from me, of course. Well, me and Norval Hayes. Oliver gave him the length of it, and I put the lead in it. We love each other extremely well. We were talking to each other just yesterday, and we talk together all the time, and we just love each other. He's a very, very beautiful brother, but he's making a mark in this country. Everywhere I go, they're talking about Rod Parsley today. A few years ago, they never heard his name. And if he had stayed in Columbus, they still wouldn't have known his name. Now, we want your pastors to be the same. And I want us to do it tonight. Our television ministry, Peter did it. I didn't do it. It had nothing to do with it. He says he'd like to pay cash for the first year. And Peter took off one third of the total amount for him. And he needs about $100,000 because he don't want to go on that TV station begging. He wants to go on that TV station praising God from whom all blessings flow. I'd like to see one of the greatest planting seasons anybody ever saw tonight. And I brought my seed to plant along with me tonight. And I have 10 $100 checks here, and it's $1,000. And I want to plant that into his television ministry. And I would like for at least 100 people to get up and come down here, and let's do it together. And then let me lay hands upon you for prosperity. How many would like to have a better year than you ever had before? I'm ready for it too. The devil's had this stuff long enough. We want 100 people to come down here. And I want you to form a line from away over yonder, clear down yonder, so I can get to you and pray for you. And I want you to say, I'll give $1,000. I'll plant $1,000. Get up and start coming right now from all over this building. And it's a planting season. We're going to get back 100-fold, you see. We're not going to mess around about it. Just stand right there. The ushers will come and give each one an envelope. Make out your check to this church. And if you don't have all your thousands tonight, put in what you do have. Would someone move this pulpit back for us, please, out of the way here? And we need every usher here, down here. That's right. We're going to pray for God to prosper you. We're going to pray for God to help your planting. We want 100 people to get up, come on down here. And we want him to go on. He would be the first one that I ever heard of that went on television with a year paid in advance. Never heard of it. But it's time he did hear of it. And we want to see it tonight. Come on, get up. Now, you say, Brother Samuel, I don't have that money. I know you don't. You never will have any more if you don't get busy and start doing something for God. You have to plan, you see. God started this gimme business. He wants you to start planning. That's what the Bible says. Jesus said it. Give, and it shall be given unto you. And if you give, it will be given unto you. Now, I've tried it, and I've tested it, and I know it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Sheila Baha Shaka Babahaya. We're going to tell that poverty devil to get out of your way. Yeah. Now, I want you to know something. When I came back from the mission field, I did not have a thing in the world. And God began to bless us. God began to bless us. God began to bless us, you know. And it was because we had learned how to plant in Jesus. Glory to God. I like to see the devil beaten down.
Hallelujah.
Well, hallelujah. We need just a few more, and they're coming. Hallelujah. Oh, the devil don't like this, but God's going to bless you. God's going to bless you. Okay. Now, anybody that, have you taken up the offering back here yet, ushers?
Oh, yeah, that's yours. Receive the offering.
Yeah. We want you to bring it up so we can lay our hands on it and bless it. All right. I think we're going to pray for these first, and then you'll have that by then. Let's get it all together. Brother, you come over here. That's all right. Pastor, let's lay hands on it. Give the heavens a loud noise. Let them hear the word of the Almighty God. Give the winds a mighty voice.
Hallelujah.
Let them hear the word of God.
Hallelujah.
We bless these that plant in the best soil there is, and the sinners that are out there that don't know God, those that are brokenhearted and broken homes. Lord, we're going to penetrate. We're going to go in there. We're going to preach the truth to them. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord.
In Jesus'
name, we command you to be blessed.
In the name of Jesus.
To be blessed. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Oh, Kalabashia. Let's raise our hands and praise the Lord. In Jesus' name. Yeah, Kalabashia. Well, hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise God. Okay. So
now, is amazing, and that's the end. It's like two more minutes. Yeah, two more minutes. Yeah. All right. So, anybody got an amen or anything to say? I think that a fella's got to listen to that message about once every couple months. My goodness sakes alive. It just turns it all up, and it helps you realize how great and how majestic our Father actually is. What did he say, 1933 or something? The lady gave him $3,000 worth of American $100 bills. Why? Because he was out there doing what God gave him to do. Amazing, 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 amazing. Of course, we teach all the time about sowing and reaping. And what an example of it right here tonight in Jesus' name. Of course, everywhere he went, he sowed the gospel. And everywhere he went, he learned to sow that seed. And I declare over every one of our lives that the heritage of this man of God. Remember, I was a little boy listening to that man on the shortwave radio sitting next to my bed on a stand when I was just probably 7, 8 years old, hearing his voice filled with the fire of God, wondering who in the world is this Lester Summerall guy. And thank God for that heritage that was in me way back then. And of course, he was one of Dr. Barclay's fathers in the faith. So we come by that heritage that way too. Somebody shout hallelujah. That spirit is inside of me. And I will see, know, and flow in this to a greater degree in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, there's a whole lot that can be said about this message. But I want us to receive our communion elements at this time, because I know that as soon as we get started talking about it, that it's going to really go. And there's nothing wrong with it really going. We're already at that point where some people are saying, Pastor, I want to go to bed. And so that's cool. You can find that message. It's called Dr. Lester Summerall, The Greatest Message on Faith Ever Preached. On this one video of it, this guy here, what's this guy's name, Encounter Today? Yeah. This one video has had 534,000 views on that one video of people listening and saying, oh, yeah, and then sending it to about 10 or 15 of their family and friends. And anytime you see somebody discouraged, send them this video. Learn how to share that YouTube video and be a blessing to them, because the spirit of faith, it's a spirit. And it gets on you, it gets in you, changes your face, like you said, changes your step. And what is it? It's trust. I trust in you, Lord. Help us go. What's the song we sing every afternoon? Take us where we've never been before. Take us in. I challenge you to begin to say to God, God, help me get myself up and moving just like I see Dr. Summerall doing. You may not go to China or Tibet or anywhere else, but the courageous act of stepping out in faith and standing in faith. And so we bless you tonight in Jesus' mighty name. Let's pray. Father, thank you for such a wonderful heritage. And Jesus taught us that in the end days, that the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things, if we let it, would choke the word. But we choose not to let it. It ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus, we grab a hold of this tighter than we've ever done before. And we say, we choose to sow so we can reap. We choose to plant a harvest on purpose so that there'll be a seed down the road when we need it. Help our eyes to be clean to it. The ears of our understanding to hear your voice to say, so now. And help us. We will be faithful. We will walk in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen, 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 amen. Now, let's go to our communion verses. This is the time of our evening program when we always go. We always receive the communion elements. So turn with me to Luke chapter 22. Luke 22. Luke 22. No matter how many. Okay. There it is. Hi, board. Good to have you with us tonight. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. It's good to see you. It's always good to see you. We're going to communion, Luke chapter 22, verses 14 through 20, and then our verses in 1 Corinthians. And we welcome you, read the Bible with us, and receive communion. No matter who you are, no matter what nation you're from, no matter what denomination you belong to, you can receive communion with us because Jesus doesn't have all those regulations. Religion does. The blood of Jesus and his broken body is for anyone, anywhere, at any time when it's being served. No human has the right to say to you, you can't receive the communion elements. Now, we must give you instruction that you must be born again and you must be examining your life, but no human has that right to do that to you. And so I have received communion in the Lutheran and the Baptist and the Methodist and the Pentecostal and the Catholic and the Presbyterian and the Episcopal. And then I've been refused in the Baptist and I've been refused in all kinds of churches. But that ain't God. I'm getting ready to read you exactly what Jesus said. I'm getting ready to read you exactly what Jesus said. If you've sinned, don't run from the blood of Jesus, run to it. See, they got it backwards. Many churches said, if you've sinned, stay away. No, if you've sinned, run to the blood. That's the answer in your life. Here we go. Now, let's pray for a minute. Father, Jesus said with great desire, he wanted to receive. And now, with great desire, we want to receive these with you, Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, according to the Word of God. In Jesus' mighty name. I think I want to sing that again. Just sing it with me. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving. I'll be that living sanctuary for you. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving. I'll be that living sanctuary for you. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And amen. And amen. Luke chapter 22. When the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles were with him. And he said to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this cup and divide it amongst yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. That's good, Juliana. Just listen and you'll hear God's voice. 19. And he took the bread and he gave thanks and he broke it. And then he said, is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, after supper, he also took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you will proclaim the Lord's death till he comes, his redemptive work. Everything God does has a redemptive value to it. 27. Whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Verse 28. Here's what solves whether or not you're worthy. It's not difficult. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. Don't receive it in an unworthy manner. Verse 28 says, let a man examine himself. And then let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. You literally could say, let a man examine himself, pray and talk to God. He's now worthy. receive the elements. Why would Father make Jesus suffer that horrible beating if all of us didn't have access to the blood anytime we needed it? If you pray a prayer and about the blood of Jesus, it doesn't wait till you're at church or wait till you're a member. No, the blood of Jesus works 24/7, 365 for all of us. And there's some times in your life that you may have to say, all I have is the blood of Jesus. But guess what? Receive these elements every day. 31. If we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17 and 18. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we might have boldness in the day of judgment. Why? Because as he, Jesus, is, so are we in this world. He's the head and we're the body. Verse 18. God's perfect love cast out fear and the torment that goes with it, the trauma. Because there is no fear in God's perfect love. In God's perfect love. God is very specific about his instructions. As often as you eat and drink this cup, you proclaim my death until he comes. So let's examine ourselves. How do you do it, Pastor? Pray the prayer of salvation. You and I pray the prayer of salvation. Brother Dan, can you pray with me tonight? All right. Looks like he's there. Everybody pray this with us. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every day.
And according to John 3:16.
And according to John 3:16.
You said, if I believe in you.
You said, if I believe in you.
You'd give me everlasting life.
You would give me everlasting life.
And I will not perish.
And I will not perish.
Now here's where you make your bold statement. Say it with me. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
And you rose again on the third day just for me.
And you rose again on the third day just for me.
Put your arms out and just say it. I receive you into my life, Jesus.
I receive you into my life, Jesus.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your love and your righteousness.
All of your love and your righteousness.
Filling every part of my life.
Filling every part of my life.
With all of the fullness of God.
And all of the fullness of God.
Forgive me of my sin, Jesus.
Forgive me of my sin, Jesus.
Wash me with your blood.
Wash me with your blood.
Make me white as snow.
Make me white as snow.
I choose to live for you.
I choose to live for you.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the word of God.
Understand the word of God.
Pray in my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly language.
And live a successful life.
And live a successful life.
As a believer every day.
As a believer every day.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Thank you, brother. For all of you that just came into the kingdom, welcome, 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 welcome. We give you a great big old internet hug, air hug, and say, we're so glad that you are in the kingdom of God. Now, what just happened? Because I can tell some of you are like, woo! Wait, let me say this like I've been saying it. Some of you are hearing this during the tribulation. And you're saying, I missed the rapture, Pastor. What do I do? You get this video of Dr. Summer out, and you listen to it all the time. You click like, subscribe, and hit the bell. You download every one of my messages you can get and get them on your computer so that you can be disconnected from the internet and still watch them. And if you're hearing other preachers out there, download their message and get it on your computer so you can get your life right with God and help everybody around you, because you don't want to spend eternity away from the presence of God in damnation and in torment, because that's what it is torment. Get it right. Those of you that just received Jesus tonight or someday in the future, on the inside, you're like, wow, what am I experiencing? You're experiencing God Almighty having just filled your very being. He just filled you to full and overflowing. And it's going through, and it's just, when God fills you up with him, all the sins got to go. So, like you said, wash me with your blood, all the sins are gone. He's thrown them into the sea of his forgetfulness, never to be remembered another day against you. Never, ever, 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 ever will it be remembered another day. Now, we said, fill me with your Holy Spirit. So, sin is gone and righteousness came. Darkness is gone and light came. Fear is gone and faith came, because Jesus came to live inside of you, and Jesus is light. Jesus is peace. Jesus is faith. And Jesus is, what was the other one? Faith and darkness, light. Well, anyways, I messed that up for some reason, but it doesn't matter. Welcome. That's what's going on. And you might say, this is an amazing experience. It is. It is. It's your best of life every day. God now lives within you. And what you got to do is learn to walk with him. Learn to walk with him. Remember, the education system of America teaches you that you got to go through grades 1 through 12, and it's going to take you 12 years to get there. In the kingdom of God, that is not the case. The kingdom of God is built on desire and meditating in the law day and night. The more you want of God, the more he's going to give you. Jesus said, to him who gets revelation, more will be given. Apply yourself to this book. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the book of Acts. Why? That's the teachings of Jesus and the beginning of the church. And it'll show you how to live. Click like, subscribe, and hit the bell so you can stay connected to us, so that we can disciple you every single day that we're here. And it'll be a blessing to you when you think about it. The closer we get to the end, the more of absolute importance it is that you just be connected in every way that you can be connected. Now, my email address is right down there in the description. And send me an email. Tell me your story. Give me your testimony. Send me a prayer request. Most of all, ask lots of questions, because the more you ask, the more other people are able to learn and see another whole side that they've never seen, because God is in all of us, and he's using all of our gifts to come together and make a beautiful force. When you lay down in your bed at night, just say, thank you, Father, for walking with me today. Help me build a relationship with you. And say, how did I do today? And from inside here, you're going to begin to hear his voice speak to you. It'll be a knowing happens in here. And Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, you'll know it. If you had a bad day and you had a bad attitude, not that you should, but old things have passed away and all things become new, but some days are pretty severe. We've all had them. And you lay down in your bed at night and you say, Father, how did I do? And he says, you had a bad attitude. That person needed to get it fixed. Get it fixed immediately. Text him, please forgive me. I was out of order. How I said that to you. You may not have been out of order in what you said, but if you was out of order in what and how you said it, then apologize. When you wake up in the morning, say, Father, Help me walk with you today, and then invite him to be part of every part of your day. And it won't be long. You'll be growing in God like you've never seen. We have another program that is already uploaded. We're going two ways with it. If I can get it in the afternoon, then it's going to already be uploaded. Otherwise, when this program's finished, I'm going to go into a program called Read the Word right here on YouTube, where we're reading through the Bible chronologically. All that we do will help you walk with God in Jesus' mighty name. You ready? Let's receive the communion elements together tonight in Jesus' mighty name. Hold them up, and we'll bless them, get you some grape juice and bread. And remember, if you're part of the body of Christ, you can receive communion together. I tell this story often. I was driving milk truck in Michigan, and hadn't been to the house of God, hadn't had communion in a while. And I was driving through a little town in northern Michigan, a little town of Everett. And I'm like, that's a Catholic church right there, and it looks like they're having mass. So I dusted off my jeans from hauling milk all day, scuffed my feet real good so they weren't dirty, walked in the door, and the usher says, "Welcome, sir. We're glad to have you. Catholic church." And I'm like, "Can I receive communion with you guys?" He's like, "Are you a believer?" I'm like, "Yeah, sure." And that was the most horrible tasting grape juice I've ever had in my life. But it was one of the most beautiful communion services. And just a truck driver driving by went in and was able to receive the broken body and the blood of Jesus with other believers, even in the Catholic Church. How wonderful is that? You ready? Pray with me. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I bless these elements.
I bless these elements.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
Now, everything I'm getting ready to say are verses of Scripture, so listen to what happens. Jesus, you were wounded.
Jesus, you were wounded.
For my transgression.
For my transgression.
You were bruised for my iniquities.
You were bruised for my iniquities.
The chastisement for my peace.
The chastisement for my peace.
Is upon you, Lord.
Is upon you, Lord.
And by your stripes.
And by your stripes.
I am healed.
I am healed.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my mind, my will, and my emotions.
In my mind, my will, and my emotions.
There's nothing missing, nothing broken in my body.
There's nothing missing, nothing broken in my body.
From your body, Jesus.
From your body, Jesus.
In the body of Christ in my community.
In the body of Christ in my community.
And right here in this community of faith.
And right here in this community of faith.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Let's receive the broken body of Christ. Thank you, Jesus, for the body of Christ that's with us tonight. Brother Julian, Sister Pamela all the way in Sister Mary in Singapore, Brother Tanvir, Nassim in Pakistan, and all places in between. Thank you that we have access to your body, Lord. We lift up the cup of blessing. Pray this with me. By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have been redeemed.
I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus, I have reconciliation with my Father.
By the blood of Jesus, I have reconciliation with my Father.
By the blood of Jesus, every sin is placed in remission.
By the blood of Jesus, every sin is placed into remission.
I am a new creation.
I am a new creation.
Old things have passed away.
Old things have passed away.
And all things have become new.
And all things have become new.
Thank you for your blood, Jesus.
Thank you for your blood, Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly.
By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly.
To the throne room of grace.
To the throne room of grace.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help for my assignment.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help for my assignment.
By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony.
By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony.
I overcome the accuser of the brethren.
I overcome the accuser of the brethren.
And there's no more condemnation in my life.
And there's no more condemnation in my life.
By the blood of Jesus, every plague has to pass over.
By the blood of Jesus, every plague has to pass over.
And cannot be on me or my family.
And cannot be on me or my family.
My conscience is purged.
My conscience is purged.
My robes are made white.
My robes are made white.
And I will always be.
And I will always be.
The glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
The glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
When you come for me in the rapture.
When you come for me in the rapture.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Let's receive the blood of Jesus. Glory be to the Lamb slain. Glory, 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 glory. Wow. Well, I hear a different song in my spirit than one about the blood, but I don't know if I know all those words, Jesus. But let's just try it. Worthy is the Lamb seated on the throne. Crown you now with many crowns. You raise victorious, high and lifted up, Jesus, Son of God. Huh. What's the next word? Donna of heaven crucified. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Well, when you hang up tonight, look the song up and listen to somebody sing it. I don't have the words in front of me, but he alone is worthy. Think about what Jesus did. Jesus carried all of your sin, sorrow, sadness to hell, sickness, disease, everything. He didn't sin, so he wasn't sin. He became your sin sacrifice. And deposited that there and stood as a lamb in the regions of hell and crushed that enemy under his feet. Colossians chapter 2 says that he nailed it to the tree and stripped him of his sham authority. He don't have an authority. Jesus already did it when he was in hell. And he came back with the keys of death, hell, and the grave and gave us the keys of the kingdom. That's why we're so powerful. You've never heard anybody teach like that. Well, you got to get our messages. And you'll be able to hear it. It'll be a blessing to you. In Jesus' mighty name. in Jesus' mighty name. Well, Brother Dan, you're reading the closing verses tonight? Or am I? Here we go. I am? All right. Jude. True Roger. That's a good name for him. This is Truth Roger. Yeah, that's true, Roger. Jude 20 through 25. These are our closing verses that as we walk out, we're going to hit one more home run. Because I'm under divine demand to get this word to you so that it doesn't seem difficult and you get the understanding. If we meditate in the law, we will make our way prosperous. We'll have good success. We'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Think like God, talk like God, act like God. Joshua chapter 1, verses 5 through 9. Here we go. Verse 20, but you, beloved, building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. On some have compassion, making a distinction. Others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating the garments that are in any way contaminated by the flesh. 24. I love these verses. That jump was as good. That jump was as good as a 90-second lady. Now unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Turn to the next page. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. He made us kings and priests to our God. Now, put your hands up and just say this with me. Father, in Jesus' name, we reap every soul into the kingdom tonight who heard this word. We declare by divine revelation of Almighty God that you, Lord, will give them wisdom and knowledge and understanding beyond their years because they're pressing in and seeking after you. Say it with me. I receive the 100-fold return that God has for me because I faithfully sowed my time, talent, and treasure into this evening for people to know Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. One more thing. Job 33, 14 through 18. I told you I'm going to keep giving you this because I want you to get it. I'm praying this over every one of us. I'm never going to stop praying it till Jesus comes. God may speak in one way or another, and man doesn't perceive it. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon man, when slumbering on their beds. So you're asleep. Watch what happens. Then he, God, opens the ears of men and seals their instruction. God opens your ears. And by a dream and a vision, seals instruction inside of you that you can't see right now by your natural eyes. But God's going to give you a dream and get you by it. Look at what it says. Verse 17, in order to turn man from his deed and conceal pride from him and keep back his soul from the pit. Father, give everybody that's in our realm a dream or a vision tonight. And I declare, not only do you have one, but you remember it and you immediately record it on your audio device so that you will remember exactly what was said and then be able to say, what does it mean, God? In Jesus' mighty name. Prayed over every one of your loved ones, your family, your friends, your brother, your sister, your mom, your dad, your aunt, your uncle, that person you know who's the most resistant to God, might even be your husband or wife. Prayed over them because God has the ability to get behind that wall and help them know Jesus. And help them know Jesus. We call it done in Jesus' mighty name. That's all we got. So this is what we say every time we come here. Thank you for being with us. Share this with your family and friends everywhere. And they might say to you, look how long this program is. Just tell them, no, don't worry about that. This is better than a movie on your TV any day because it is so filled with the Word of God. If you want to come back and pray those prayers with me at the beginning of it, you can come back and turn this video right back on. And you'll be able to go right there to the prayers and just keep speaking it and speaking it. We've got to speak these prayers every single day through the election and through the new year and probably every day till Jesus comes. You and I have got to put that forceful advance and crush our enemy. And tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Central, we will be a lot live again with more understanding about dreams with Brother Dutch Sheets. And then our prayer for the nation and our prayer for each other and the Word of God that God's bringing. I got all kinds of word to give, but I'm going to have to put it into some other teachings and share it at another time. It'll be a blessing to you. Remember this. We love you and God loves you. And Jesus is Lord. See you soon.